Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your local real estate needs. Just a reminder, as always, please take 1 second to like the video or the episode or the show. Make sure you're subscribed, hit the little subscribe button, whatever platform you're on. And if you can leave a rating or a review, you know, depending on what platform that you're watching or listening on, I would greatly appreciate it. Those are the only things I ask of you guys, so please go ahead and do that. I want to talk about the rental market right now. This is something that comes up quite a bit in conversations that I'm having with people, and it just makes sense to go ahead and just record an episode about it, right? That way I can, when I get the question, I could just be like, okay, I recorded an episode and you can watch or listen to it and get all the information that you need from it. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you upfront what the rental market is like, and then I'm going to support it with some data that I think you guys will find interesting. It's a soft rental market. From a landlord or landlady perspective, it's a soft rental market, right? It's not, it's nothing like what we experienced from 2020 through 2022, where the rental market was just going insane. And there are good reasons for that. And if I remember, which this is one of my least prepared podcasts that I've had in a while. Last week was really, really busy for me. So I'm hoping to come back to why I think that the rental market has swung so much since what it was from 2020 through 2022. But long story short, it's not been a great rental market. Again, if you're a landlord or a landlady for a while, if you're a renter, you're probably thinking, well, that's great, right? Well, in theory, yes, but here's the thing. It's similar when it comes to home sales. Everyone thinks a buyer's market is a good thing for buyers. But oftentimes a buyer's market means that the economy is doing bad. And if the economy is doing badly, then that means that a lot of buyers aren't able to buy, right? They're either losing their jobs or they're taking pay cuts or this or that is happening, whatever. Credit markets are tight. All sorts of things happen. It's the same thing with the world of rent. And sometimes it can be a chicken or an egg kind of situation, right? Which came first? Did the rental market get bad first? Or did renters not have the ability to move? And then as a result of that, or maybe not the ability to leave their parents or not the ability to go up to the next nicer rental that they would normally do, and then as a result of that, the rental market got bad, right? So we have to think about it from that perspective. We tend to think about these things in very abstract terms. But what it means when it's a bad rental market from a landlord perspective, it functionally means that renters aren't able to move. What it means when it's a buyer's market, it functionally means that buyers can't buy. Now, there's always going to be the cream that rises to the top, so to speak, that are still able to do things in that are people that are still able to rent wherever they want to rent, you know, when the rental market is weak, people that are able to buy wherever they want to buy when it's a buyer's market. Yeah, those things do happen, but those are the exceptions, not the rule. Speaking of exceptions and rules, you might be listening to this and saying, well, I've not been seeing any issues with my rentals. Maybe you own some rental properties. Maybe you own a lot of them. I don't know. And maybe you're looking at your data and your vacancy rates and your cash flow and all of that. And you're thinking, hey, what he's saying doesn't make any sense because I'm not experiencing any of that. I don't know anyone experiencing that. And my response to you is exception meet rule, right? And like I said, I'm going to support everything that I'm discussing here with data, but I wanted to go ahead and just lead with this reality. It's not been a great time the past few years to be a landlord. And while I had read some things saying that maybe that would flip this year, everything that our government is doing overseas right now is not going to help any of that because that's a drag on our economy. And that eventually is a drag on the rental market as well. Again, something I'm going to get to here in a little bit. But let's talk about the actual data. And I'm going to pull up the Calculated Risk Substack blog by Bill McBride. Really fantastic. I'll be honest, I don't pay for the Substack. I'm not a big Substack payer type of guy. But if I did, this would be one that I would pay for. Bill McBride does a lot of number crunching. You guys know I'm a number crunching sort of guy. I really appreciate, and he crunches numbers in the real estate market in all sorts of different ways. But basically, he analyzes the rental market every now and then. And the conclusion that he came to for the most recent month of data that he analyzed is that rents were up 0.4% month over month. And if you're hearing that, you're probably thinking, oh, well, doesn't that go against what you just said? No, because there is seasonality in rents. Rents always go up month over month this time of year. That happens every month. And if you're looking at the bar chart that I've got, if you're on YouTube, you can see there is built-in seasonality. Every year during the spring and summer, the month-over-month rents go up. Every year during the fall and winter, the month-over-month rents go down, okay? So just like in the standard real estate resale market, there is seasonality in the rental market as well. The important thing, though, is that we don't ever analyze real estate data from a month-over-month perspective. I mean, I guess there can be some times where that's helpful. But if you guys have listened to this for any period of time, you know this is a year-over-year podcast. That is always what I'm going to be focused on because that tells you directionally where the market is heading more than month-over-month data, which again is influenced by seasonality. Unless you pull that seasonality out, and some statisticians do that, have ways of doing that. There are seasonally adjusted numbers that you can look at sometimes, but unless you pull that out, really the best thing that you can do is look at year over year. Well, that's where this is a little bit different. If you're looking at this chart that I'm showing, you can see that there is a description, a couple of paragraphs beforehand that explain that rent prices nationally, this is national data, I'll get into local data here in a bit too, but rent prices nationally are down 1.7% compared to a year ago. Year over year rent growth is now at the lowest level that we've seen in our estimates going back to 2017, surpassing a record set in the early months of the pandemic. The national median rent has now fallen from its 2022 peak by a total of 5.5%. So rents have gone down 5.5% since 2022, and this is not adjusted for inflation. So it's gone down even more than that. Okay, if you adjust for inflation, I'd really like to see this data adjusted for inflation. I think that would be interesting. If you look at the vacancy rates, again, month over month, held steady at 7.3%. But if you go back in 2019, before the pandemic, it was below 7%. It was hovering just above 6%, right in that 6.2 to 6.3 range was where we were in it. And it even went down to, I think, about 6.1%. As we approach 2020. And then, of course, during the pandemic, the vacancy rate went way low, below the 4% line at one point. And that was when things, again, were going really, really crazy in the rental market. How crazy? Crazy that there was like wait lists for rental properties. If you owned rental properties, you had wait lists. You had people getting into bidding wars over like security deposits. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it. I've owned rentals since the early 2010s. I've never seen anything like what it was like from 2021 through 2022. And I guess, you know, a little bit before then, 2020 as well. It was a great time to own rental properties. And obviously it wasn't going to last. Nothing, you never have bidding wars, over security deposits and things like that. Like that's not a healthy dynamic. That's not something that from the standpoint of the entire market, we don't want to see that. Obviously you love to see that if you own rental properties. But if you simply love the economy and our country, you don't want to see that, okay? So let's look at some local data here. Now, I'm going to show you guys something different here. I'm going to show you my my Claude desktop. So I've been playing around. You guys know I like AI. I've been playing around recently with Claude, and I've been very impressed with Claude. There's a lot of jokes on the internet about Claude versus ChatGPT. I'm not going to get into all of that on this show, but I am aware that the Claude users tend to be a little uppity about their Claude usage. I'm going to try to not do that. But I will say, in terms of crunching data, I found ChatGPT to be good at crunching data, but not. I didn't care for how they produce charts. I asked Claude to produce some charts based on some local data, and I was pretty happy with how it did. So I've got four charts here on my screen, basically showing crunching data from Greenville from 2021 through 2025 regarding what's happening in the world of rents in this area. So this data is not going to be perfect because this is all data I had to pull from the multiple listing service. Well, a lot of rentals are not in the multiple listing service, but there's enough data in there in general that we can draw some conclusions, particularly when you're pulling a 4+ year sample size, which is what I did. And so here's what we've got. We've got that rents have for sure gone up since 2021 when the rental market really took off. They went up, and I'm looking at the upper left-hand chart right now, which is all property types asking versus actual rents. Now, here's the thing. In the multiple listing service, there's oftentimes not a huge, if any, difference between asking versus actual rents because oftentimes people will just enter, will just adjust the price for the rent, for the asking rent, and then it ends up just matching what it ended up renting for. So if you see some data that seems a little bit odd here, that's what's happening. But long story short, we had an average rent in 2021 was about $1,500 per month. That went all the way up to, in 2023, $1,855. That's the median. The average is similar. The average was, and this is where the chart is kind of failing me a little bit. But the average was right around 1,500 as well, soared all the way up to 1,900 in 2023. But since 2023, some interesting things have happened. In 2024, the median went down to 1,799. And in 2025, basically stayed the same at 1,800. The average in 2024 went down from 1,903 in 2023 to 1,868. In 2024, and then back up to 1901 in 2025, that's still below what it was in 2023. Okay, so rents in Greenville, in the greater Greenville market, have come down the past 2 years. Okay, and again, this is not inflation adjusted, so it's come down even more significantly if we're talking in terms of real dollars. If you look at single family only, the median again topped out in 2023 at 1950. In 2024, it went down to 1895, and in 2025, it stayed flat at 1895. So we basically, when you're looking at, and so that's for single family, all property types or single family, you look at the median rents, they have been basically unchanged the past couple of years, but down from their peak in 2023. Now the average in terms of single family has gone up a little bit. All right. It's up to 1994 on average versus 2023 was 1978. But again, I prefer to look at the median than the average whenever I'm looking at this sort of data. Now it gets really interesting when you start looking at the median actual rent by property type. Okay. And so Claude broke this down into single family, townhome, or condo /other. And here's what we get when we look at that. Again, single family and condos. Well, hold on. Single family, we'll start with that. That's the one that people are the most interested in. Again, topped out in 2023 at $1,950, went down in 2024 to $1,895 a month, and then went down to $1,875 a month in 2025. So we're seeing 3 straight years of rent declines, not including the inflation adjustments that would make those even more steep declines, okay? If we're looking at condos peaked in 2022 at $1,495, then in 23 went to $1,450, in 24, $1,395, and in 23, $1,335. So now we've got 3 straight years of condos not pulling the sorts of rents that they did in prior years. And if you guys have listened to the show for any period of time, you know I've been out on condos. I have been out on condos. I've been telling you guys this for years. And this is one of the reasons why I foresaw this dynamic happening. Too many people, you know, when it comes to condos, right, they don't have yards. They have shared walls. And a lot of our condos in this area are old and starting to be in a state of disrepair. People have dogs, and some people have cats. Almost everyone has a pet now. And so they want a yard. Condos don't have yards. They don't want that. There's been a tremendous amount of new construction in the past few years, but not as much on the condo side of things, and particularly not as much on the condo side of things in the multiple listing service, okay? All those apartments that you see, you know, if you're driving around and angry at all the apartments that have been developed, those for the most part are not going to show up in this data, okay? So this data is a little bit skewed when it comes to the condos, but again, we're looking at a sample size. We're seeing the direction of where the market has gone, and so it's still fair to say that rents have gone down for condos because those new construction condos and apartments and whatnot, those are an anomaly, right? If you're listening to this, you're probably not a big box developer looking to put in a huge apartment community. You're probably a small-time landlord or landlady, and you might have a small little portfolio of condos, and so you would be affected by this dynamic. Now, the interesting one is townhomes. Townhomes actually did better, had their best year in 2025 of all these different years, and the townhomes single-handedly kept the median and average up for the all property types. If we didn't have condos doing what they had done, then we would have seen the median for all property types be lower in 2025 than it was in 24 and 23. So the townhomes topped out this past year at $1,875 a month. $1,795 a month. It was $1,700 a month the year before. And then in 23, it was $1,734 a month. So it went down a little bit in 24 and then hopped back up to $1,795 in 2025. Be interesting to see if that continues. I do think a lot of this now is new construction coming into the data because there are a lot of townhomes that have been purchased by mom and pop landlords in order to simply be rented out to someone. But there's the other dynamic as well, that townhomes tend to be cheaper than single family homes. And that's, again, in this data. For 2025, a single family home was $1,875 a month, whereas a townhome was $1,795 a month. You know, that $80 a month on average might not seem like a lot, but that actually is a substantial amount for the average renter, because you've got to consider that also causes their security deposit to go up. That causes their, you know, that might impact their in terms of the numbers that the property manager or the landlord or the landlady or whoever is looking at influence their ratios and all of that. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And here's the final piece of the puzzle that I think is interesting too. The average days on market and the median days on market have steadily continued to go up since 2021. Every single year, there has been an increase. Let me see if there was an increase from 23 to 24. Yep. Every single year, we've seen an increase. So the median days on market for rentals was 22 days in 2021, it was 35 days on average. So the median, the average 35, the median 22 back in 2021. That's gone up every year to where now the average is 59 days on market and the median is 39 days. So that's a substantial increase, right? We're talking about, you know, what, like a 40% increase on the average. And we're talking about almost, yeah, over a 40% increase on the median. That's a big, big increase, right? In terms of how long these rental properties are sitting before they actually get rented out. And if you're a property owner that owns rental properties, having a rental sit for 60 days, for 2 months without getting a tenant, that's a long time. You don't want a rental sitting for 2 months just vacant. You still have expenses. You still have to pay insurance. You still have to pay maintenance. You still have to pay for the lawn to be mowed. You still have to, you know, absorb a lot of costs. There's a cost to just having that property just sitting there doing nothing for you. Now, are there some potential tax benefits to having rentals? Yeah, of course. Talk to your accountant about that. You know, in theory, those losses can help to offset your income taxes a bit. But you know what's better than offsetting your income tax is having higher income tax because you're making more money, right? Nobody wants to just lose money just so that, well, I want to lose money just so that my taxes are better. No. You want to make money to pay for those taxes. That's the better way to do it. Now, why? Why is this happening? Okay. And I did remember to come back to this. And it's interesting because I see a lot of hand-wringing about this, like, wow, why is the rental market like this? And I see a lot of theories being put out there that it's because of this or it's because of that. I think it's really simple, right? It took off during the pandemic housing boom. Why did it take off during the pandemic housing boom? And why has it gotten so tight the past few years? To me, it was really, really simple. In the moment, during that pandemic boom, the reason why we kept seeing over and over again these wait lists, these people getting into bidding wars over security deposits, over their monthly rents, all of that, was because they had money. They had liquid cash in their bank accounts. Why did they have that? Because we threw around so much stimulus in our government. They had so much cash in our pocket, in their pockets. It's the exact same thing that happened to the housing market. Everyone, well, in that case, it was twofold. People had cash in their banks and there was the really, really low mortgage rates. In the case of the rentals, it wasn't quite as crazy as the housing market was because the low mortgage rates didn't, you know, affect you if you were renting. It made you want to not rent, but it didn't affect you in any positive way. But what did affect you is that if you have more cash in your pocket now, let's say that you've been wanting to move. Let's say you've been in that condo that, you know, the neighbors are just noisy. They're always fighting and the wall is super thin and the dog wakes you up every morning barking at the squirrels at 6 a.m., whatever. And you've been wanting to move, but you just haven't had the money to pony up for that next house that needs going to have a higher security deposit and then it's going to be higher rents and all of that. Well, all of a sudden you're getting these stimulus checks in the mail and whatnot. And it's like, I can actually do this. I can save a couple of months of my income and these stimulus checks. And now I can actually make that move. That's what was happening. Well, guess what's happening now? Nobody has money in their bank account. The economy is bad, right? The economy is single-handedly, in my non-professional opinion, because I'm a realtor, I'm not an economist, but I do follow these things, I do track these things very closely. The economy is bad for most people in the middle class, and it's really bad if you're in the lower class, right? The only people making a lot of money right now are the people that already had money to begin with. And there's a very simple reason for this, and well, I shouldn't say that there's a very simple reason for this, but it's just been that people have been ignoring what's been happening in our economy because the stock market appears to be okay. And the stock market's been propped up by artificial intelligence, by other similar things like that, where and we're starting to see some cracks in all of that that I think could be a big warning, a big indicator of something bad to come. I hope not. I'm not predicting that. But we do need to start looking at these fissures, looking at these cracks in the data, and thinking, okay, what's the possibility of a recession? I've heard a lot of chatter about that lately. And again, we're looking at this data. Renters are having a hard time. You think that these renters want to be stuck where they are? Do you think that they're happy that they can't move? No. A lot of people want to move right now. Whether they want to move from being a renter to being a homeowner, whether they want to rent a nicer place, and they can't do that. They can't do that because they don't have the cash to move. It takes cash for a renter to move to a new rental property. And so these are all the things that are happening. So keep this in mind. I've been talking a lot of people out of buying rentals lately. And, you know, should I be doing that? Is that good for my business? It doesn't matter. It's the right thing to do. It's the honest thing to do. What I don't want is to have, you know, to convince a client, oh, you're going to buy this rental property and make tons and tons of money, and then they buy it and make no money and are losing money, and now they're calling me and they're angry at me. I don't want that. I would rather not make the commission check but have my conscience clear than make the commission check and be receiving those phone calls and have a client that's not happy, that feels like they had the wool pulled over their eyes. And so I'm just going to be honest with you guys. This is the state of the market right now. Now, does that mean it's not the right time to buy? Not necessarily, right? So you have to keep this in mind. Sometimes the best time to buy is the dip, right? Actually, a lot of people would say that is the time to buy. Buy the dip. We're in a dip right now, right? We've talked about it when it comes to resales. In general, we're seeing some slight price corrections in the Greenville market. We're seeing that when it comes to rents as well. Some landlords and other investors are going to look at their portfolio and be like, you know, I got to get rid of some of these properties. They're not doing well. It's time to move off of them. And some of these people might be willing to sell a property for substantially less than it would have been worth in 2023 because rents were higher, right? Everything penciled better back then. So you've got to consider all of that. It might still make sense to buy a rental property, but I am telling people, if you expect to be profitable in your first year owning a rental property, you need to recalibrate your expectations. Expect the first year to be unprofitable, because that's just what the data says. We don't know when this data is going to turn around. It might be more than a year. It might be 2 years before you actually turn a profit. It might be 3 years. We don't know. At some point, if you make a wise purchase, you will have a profitable year. But it's not normally the first year. And in this sort of environment, it's definitely not going to be the first year. So you just need to be prepared for that. You need to be prepared that you're going to have to be paying money out of whatever source of income that you have. You're going to have to be paying in order to keep that rental property afloat, to pay for all the expenses related to that. And you might not get rents that exceed what your total costs are. You may not. And we just need to be honest about that and just recognize that that's the case. As a result of that, I know a lot of people that have pulled out of buying rentals in the Greenville market. That's a real thing. And, you know, at some point they'll be back, right? The rental market will correct. And really, the question is, should those people wait until the rental market corrects, or should they buy now so that they have the property in place for when it corrects, and then they can just make a lot of money? That's the question right now. For most people, that's what they're dealing with. For everyone, it's different. So I'm not going to tell you now's the time to buy. It might be in your situation, or it might not be. You need to assess what your financial goals are, how much you need to have enough cash in the bank to be able to float a property. It might be vacant for several months. that might not make money, that you might, that might be losing money for a couple of years, maybe more than that, who knows. If you're prepared for that, then you at least have your expectations calibrated. And then if it does better than that, well, that's gravy. And that's the position that you want to be in as a real estate investor. And so I've tried to coach you guys for years and years on the show. I started as a real estate investor before I became a realtor. And so I've learned this honestly. Like, this is not just textbook. This is not just me looking at charts. I know this for real, and I've seen it with my own rental properties. The rents are not what you would expect for the way the market is right now. The vacancies are higher. Renters are more mercurial than ever. And we need to just be honest about that and see. Here's what the data says. Both national and local data confirms that rents have gotten softer the past 2, 3, 4 years. And is that going to change anytime soon? I don't know. Unless there is more cash in the economy, which can only happen if there's government stimulus or if the economy dramatically improves. And I don't really see either of those things happening anytime soon. So I'm kind of like, this might be for a few more years. And that might not be what you want to hear, but that's what you need to hear. And that's all that I'm ever going to tell you guys. Not what you want to hear, what you need to hear. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Appreciate all the support. Please like, rate, review, subscribe to the show. If you need a realtor, my contact information is in the show notes. Love you guys. Hope you guys had, by the way, a wonderful Easter. I don't want to fail to mention that. Had a really good Easter myself. Hope you guys had a great one. Relaxing, good Easter brunch, good church service, all of those good things. Thank you so much for listening as always. We will talk again next time.